I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
To the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU.
One.
Monday nights at 7, BYU quarterback Jaren Hall joins KSL for an insider look at the BYU football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL News Radio. It's the Players Club right here. Just had Jaren Hall join us on the program, as he does every Monday, to kind of break things down. We got the semi-definitive answer of he'll be there, and then it was I'll be out there. Kind of gave you like an I'll be out there on the field kind of a question.
It's got to be hard, though. But it's got to be hard. Here you guy that you've fought really hard in competition. You know, you quit baseball. You're all in, and you get out there, and the team's doing well. I'm telling you, it's got to be the worst thing in the world to be sitting on the sideline against a team that you know you're probably going to play very well against. You're going to have a big game. You know, it's like here Jaren's gone through all the Power Five gauntlet kind of games.
Now this is game he throws for 380 yards.
Right, the icing on the cake. It's got to be a tough thing.
And then he has to hear something like this happen on Saturday night.
Gunner, wide right, couple of twins left. One is including Nakua, who motions as they go play fake and they go deep down the middle. Baylor to Gunner again, makes the catch for the touchdown. Inside the five and walks in for six. BYU scores again, brother to brother, Baylor to Gunner.
Honestly, there were times of the game where there are a lot of people that are sitting up there in the stands or in the press box, and they go, I mean, Baylor's got a nice deep ball, man. I mean, you have to know that everybody's going to be talking like that if you're Jaren Hall.
Well, that's why you don't want the other guy to go in. Ever. You don't ever want to give someone a sniff of the field.
But then you also have to be like, yeah, man, we knew he was going to go in and he's going to play really, really well. He's awesome.
Course.
He's great.
Look,
he's amazing.
I understand saying all the right things, and yes, you're a team player, but you work hard to get on that field, and you want – because the other guys are good too, and you put them on the field, Tom Brady – they end up with Hall of Fame careers, and so, you know, it's serious. It's like I never in a million years thought Tom Brady would replace Drew Bledsoe, but he did. But what I like about BYU, I like the aggressiveness in a lot of these play calls. I mean, they're really going after people, and they've done this, you know, so far in the season. Is when you have a coach that you know wants to dial up like that dagger shot, that one play that just – And it does so much for your confidence as a team. It does so much to build the confidence of the players on the field. Man, you love that when you have a coach that has that mindset and that willingness to do it. But on top of that, Alex, as Jaren said, BYU's got a lot of options. I mean, you got the Nakua brothers, you got
the Romney brothers.
Yes. Well, you got Gunner, you know, as a white, who I really like. I actually am more impressed with Gunner Romney than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
And of course, Pau, who's just, you know, really matured as a player.
Might be the best one on the team.
Could possibly be the best one. And that's not even getting to the running backs, who you, I mean, these
or the tight ends.
Or the tight ends. Mm-hmm. This is a really, really, really solid. I mean, it's not solid. This is an exceptional BYU offense.
I think on the offensive side of things, it was really good. There were parts that were a little bit annoying about that second half where the defense did not lock down, did not wrap up. And it's interesting, too, because, I mean, South Florida, they roll up there and, you know, no one's giving them a shot, and they know it. They don't care. And these are guys who, out of high school, were recruited by South Florida, Central Florida, you know, some of them, handful of them are grad transfers from LSU. These guys played high school football in Florida, and they were highly recruited. Just, these guys know how to play ball. And so some of them are way bigger than you. And so the letting up part, I think, got people a little bit nervous there because BYU had to get a couple of first downs to make sure and lock it out and just kind of take a knee. You talked about something with Jaren, too, when we were just now speaking with him. You said, look, this is a long season, and you're not going to always be perfect. I think about BYU last year, I think it was against UT San Antonio, which is one of those games where they were favored by, you know, three or four touchdowns. And UTSA comes in, I think BYU won 27-21. Zach Wilson didn't have nearly as good of a game as he had in a lot of these other ones. And I thought there are games like that along the way, aren't there?
Every week is its own entity. And you can't read too much into, okay, the team looked like this week, they're going to look like this next week. And there's a couple of reasons why. One is you learn from week to week and you get better. And then the other one is, it's a matchup thing where you're like, yeah, our scheme, our players fits really well with what's going here. You look at year to year, certain teams just seem to have other teams' numbers. You know, when you think of Utah and the Pac-12, and they just always seem to have Stanford's number. USC always seems to have Utah's number, whether, you know, whatever. Oregon seems to have Utah's number. And so matchups sometimes, you know, dictate some of that. But there's also the other side of it where complacency. And I think that's the thing for this BYU football team that they've got to fight against all the rest of the season. Because it's going to be – the discussion's always going to be about we're undefeated, right? And they've got a good shot to win most of their games this year, if not all of them. I mean, there's a real shot to win every game. They're going to have tough games.
Sure.
But they're a really, really good football team. And the way you continue to win is you get rid of that complacency and you just have complete 100% respect for your opponent throughout the entire game. And you just can never let up because everyone else is going to keep trying.
I think it's funny how expectations change, obviously, for yourself as a team. And they should, right? Where you sit and you go, well, we got to readjust our sights here on this because now BYU's 4-0 and number 13 going into this game against Utah State. And then they have this Utah State, Boise State, Baylor. I mean, that these next 3 weeks. And what's interesting is that in all of this, everybody thought Utah State was going to be a little bit more of an easy out. Boise State, everybody knew they were going to be Boise State. But at the same time, it did still feel like it was a rebuild type situation like it was last year a little bit. And it's not necessarily. And then Baylor, who won two games, is suddenly top 25 team. So now you've readjusted. They won two games last year, and you went, yeah, they're still rebuilding. They're trying to figure themselves out there in Waco. Now suddenly BYU, if they win those two games, and then they're 6-0 going down to Waco, where this other team could be staring at them and also ranked top 15 at that point, it's wild how, you know, the season goes, and then everything changes week to week. So let's take another break here. We'll come back with our final discussion points here about what Kalani Sitake wants to do with this team this week going into Utah State. It's not one they can take lightly. Those Friday night games have been tough for BYU there in Logan and in Provo over the last handful of years. Stay right here with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.